When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
You're perfectly frank,
as I would have expected.
Welcome back to The Graphic. It is a pleasure to have Jamie back on the podcast. Jamie, good to see you.
Lawrence, good to see you, mate.
What's going on in the Premier League? Why is no one spending money?
See, I wish they were.
Yeah. Do you?
It'd be more, yeah, I mean...
Would it be more interesting? Or have we just never found a way to make non-transfers interesting? Is it like sticking in 21 or blackjack and everyone going, whoa, yeah, stuck at 20?
Yeah, if there was a six-month time delay before the next card was drawn.
Yeah.
Because, you know, usually we come back for the season starting. Mm-hmm. And we go, oh my God, that's so exciting. And then there's an international break and we go, oh.
I think also maybe we might forget that because of the amount of big moves that a lot of people made in the summer, it kind of negates the need or like negates what you would do in January. Like Arsenal signed Declan Rice, that's absolutely huge. And Yuri and Timber, that's absolutely huge. Manchester United, what did Manchester United do in the summer? Not enough, but they did enough to think they don't need anything. At Newcastle signed Tonali. People have just seemed to completely forgotten about Tonali. Chelsea signed everyone. Liverpool signed a whole new midfield and then re-upped their midfield. Like, is there really... I'm not saying there's not a need, but it's understandable why we're not investing in January.
If you think about the Venn diagrams that all need to come off, mm-hmm. one, you need to have the money for a player. So if you've made summer moves, you might not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, financial fair play makes that tricky. Two, that player has to be good enough to go straight into your side, probably, yeah. but not so good that the team can't lose them. Mm-hmm. And that team is going to have to not replace them or have somebody already in mind. Mm-hmm. But then the domino effect just continues. So even if they do have a replacement, well, that's probably contingent on the other side having a replacement lined up.
That too. I also think the market slowing down further down may also slow the market down further up, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So like people be less willing to part ways with someone they think, well, maybe we can get more in a year when the economy is better or blah, 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 than we can now. I'd rather sit on this player than sell now.
So what you end up with is players like Brozier, mm-hmm. Chelsea, who Chelsea are apparently quite keen to offload. Mm-hmm. And that's fine because they don't need a replacement.
But they do need a replacement, but I just don't think they can afford a replacement. I honestly think, I get it. Like, I think Brozier is a very good player, obviously massive Albanian connection for me. And so I've kind of been watching him. I really want him to do well. I ended up saying to my wife's brother the other day, I was like, this guy's got Lazio written all over him. Yeah, like, well, he's got, see you in Serie B in a couple of years. Like, I'm sure he's very good and he'll do well at the Euros, but he's not got what Chelsea need right now written all over him. And that's kind of sad. It might partly also be down to Chelsea's system right now, but...
The Athletic did a piece on Brozier and went, well, who could sign him?
Mm-hmm.
And
who did they say? They said West Ham.
It's West Ham and Fulham.
Right.
They go team by team.
Pure guess, by the way. Didn't even read that.
You know how some players are so West Ham?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like bizarre some players didn't end up there.
West Ham have signed Calvin Phillips, though. Or at least are very close to signing Calvin Phillips. That is a really...
Brilliant, like, signing.
It's so David Moyes, first of all. It's a loan. So again, it's so this January. And it's also almost perfect for Calvin Phillips. He's going to get loads of minutes. He's playing for a manager who I've seen sit literally next to Gareth Southgate at the football, like discussing the football. I was sat in front of him and Gareth Southgate when I went to Chelsea a couple of months ago. They seem to get on famously. Not that I don't think Gareth Southgate doesn't have a good relationship, but obviously working relationships help. I think Calvin Phillips is making a run. And I think he's been told, get in a squad, play football, you'll go to the Euros.
And the nice thing about the way that West Ham play is, you know, he likes to press off the ball, but he also likes to sit, really.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many players around him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a real transitional team. As a defensive midfielder or a centre-half, this is why we thought Maguire would be such a good fit for West Ham. It's brilliant when there's people near you.
Yeah.
And it's really tough when you're defending big spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So for Calvin Phillips, to go play next to Paqueta and James Ward-Prowse, on the transition and press when he needs, I mean, it's like a dream situation.
It also kind of works really well for England because that's kind of almost the exact midfield he'd play in.
Mm.
Like, you can put... I know James Ward-Prowse isn't Trent, but there's kind of a proxy there for Trent where it's sort of like, hey, you know, you're not going to do all the work, but you are going to do enough of what you need to do and you're great at distributing the ball. And then Bellingham and Paqueta or Paqueta, whatever, which way around, is kind of a bit of a... I prefer Paqueta, but I also like Paqueta. Paqueta sounds like a piece of food.
Now you said Paqueta, I think I got mine wrong.
Yeah, okay, fine. No, either way...
I think you're being charitable.
Yeah, but I don't actually know, and I'm terrible. Like, I said Gabriel Jesus, mate, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's a good fit, and it definitely adds something to that West Ham team. Like, more than adds something to that West Ham team. That is a premier signing, as far as I'm concerned, at their level. Like, that's like, you know, Liverpool getting a proper DM or any of these things. I've got to admit, I do think it's slightly showing that none of the big teams did go for him. Like, it shows... Maybe it shows that no one wanted to roll the dice. Arsenal couldn't roll the dice, wouldn't need to. Chelsea don't really need to roll the dice. Calvin Phillips in the Arsenal midfield, actually, now I say it, actually does look kind of interesting. But if Pep doesn't need him, I can't imagine Arteta's going to need that blueprint.
It might also... I know City don't run this way, but it strikes me a little that Arsenal and Liverpool, mm-hmm. giving them potentially a very big player for the title run, and might be a little bit...
Sure, especially when you're kind of weakened anyway or whatever it is. You don't want him to go somewhere else and do well and have a bit of a, yeah, screw you.
And by the way, he would. Like, if
he seems that way.
He would.
Yeah, I like his character. From what I hear from people, I like his character.
The other thing is, if you think about Calvin Phillips at a team like West Ham as opposed to a team like Arsenal, Spurs, it's a six-month move, probably.
Sure.
It's like, we're just talking about the Euros here.
Yeah, just get me through to the Euros, get me into a tournament, maybe go to the tournament, have a good tournament, make your value higher, and we'll sell you for exactly what we bought you for on the other side of the summer.
And you know how some managers just fit clubs that aren't as high performing? Like, it seems like David Moyes is a better fit for West Ham, Everton.
Yeah.
And like Villa, Newcastle, that band. Maybe there's players that are similar.
I feel like Calvin Phillips, if he'd gone to any other team, we'd see him differently. Mm. Like, if he'd gone to a Liverpool, we'd see him differently. If he'd gone to Arsenal, we'd see... Maybe not. I don't know. Arsenal, I kind of see Arsenal as like a bit of a Man City proxy, but... Yeah. And then Chelsea, I feel like he sort of suits Chelsea, weirdly.
Reading about Chelsea's financial fair play and having to sell academy grads and stuff, it just reminded me of Leeds, you know, when they had the 6 months where they spent just an absolute fortune and then got relegated to League One as a result. Now, Chelsea aren't in that position, but they had the 6 months of madness, and then they looked back and thought, you know, that 200 million we spent on two central midfield players, wow, that would have gone a hell of a long way in buying a centre forwards a year later.
I also feel like, I mean, I get it. I think it's kind of weird that they neglected the centre forward position and were so focused on the midfield, but...
It was briefly trendy though, wasn't it?
It was briefly trendy, and it was briefly kind of trendy not to have... I mean, actually,
it's quite unsexy to have a striker.
It's really sexy to have a striker. What are you talking about?
Tim, for me, like, since Spain played like essentially a version of 3-7,
uh-huh.
and then Cesc Fabregas is the furthest player forward.
Sure, right, yeah.
And City won the league without a centre forward, really.
Sure.
And Arsenal seem to try to do their best impression. Mm-hmm. And even Liverpool, who Nunes, by the way, 10 goals and 10 assists.
Yeah.
First Premier League player to reach that.
First Premier League player this season to reach that. And only one of five Liverpool players in the Premier League era to do it.
But there's something...
At this stage.
There's something quite retro almost about Haaland. He's tall and puts the ball in the goal. Like,
yeah.
How gauche.
Ivan Toney not a bit like that? Is that partly why I think Ivan Toney went underappreciated for quite a while?
Yeah. I mean, Ivan Toney's interesting because I saw him... I've seen him play for Northampton in the flesh. I've seen him play for Peterborough in the flesh. And in no stage did you think he was anything other than brilliant. But stylistically, you just couldn't see him in the Premier League. Which is why I have such an... Like, now, it's like with Arsenal. To me, it's like, God, he's probably not a dissimilar player to
Look
Alan Peterborough.
Look at you. Yeah. I get that. And then on top of that, I also think there is like this... There is the need for a big man at Chelsea. There is the need for a big man at Arsenal. Neither of them have the money to do it. And I know, obviously, everyone's talking about Newcastle right now and saying Newcastle need to sell to buy or whatever it is. I think that part of that might come from the Tonali thing. Like, I'm not saying they would have sold Tonali, but obviously the financial situation they now found themselves in, they're like a lot of money down from buying Tonali. They're not really getting any value from him, really, at all. And they don't really know where that's going to go, whether after he's basically finished his ban and whatever it is, he basically goes, quite like to go back to Italy now.
Well, the interesting thing is, when Newcastle got Champions League football, there were kind of murmurings from within the club that said, have they gone too soon? Like, obviously you do as well as you can each year, but are they a year or two ahead? Mm-hmm. And the answer has proven basically, yeah.
Yes.
Because I read this week, Wilson and Trippier, they had to kind of deny that they were selling. And they were selling them in theory for financial fair play reasons. Mm-hmm. So they've gotten really close to the edge, then had a bunch of injuries, and gone, shit, we don't have the depth for this.
And that's like partly because they also don't have an academy as well. Or they don't have an academy that's the size of someone else's academy. So yeah, obviously they've got academy.
They've got Lewis Miley who's come through.
But they don't have an academy in the sense it's churning players out. Like if you look at what Liverpool were doing against Bournemouth on the weekend, we spoke about the fact that at one point there were like five or six players on the field.
Yeah, and Chelsea's academy seems to either sell players or bring them through.
It's more like a factory of sorts than an academy, but it sort of works that way. There are lots of teams with that kind of academy pedigree, and Newcastle just haven't had the infrastructure and the investment to make theirs work. It's not, there's not talented players in that area, but you and I were even talking before the podcast about the idea of just, you know, getting the right ideas into the right players and confidence at a very young age and giving them the infrastructure to thrive. And those minor differences and tweaks make all the difference.
Why do you think Newcastle haven't gone for Calvin Phillips?
Good question, actually. I actually don't know.
I think they were linked. Maybe they have. I mean, they were linked.
Maybe they did, and West Ham just made a slightly more compelling case.
If you're Pep, do you have a preference for him? Or if you're Southgate, do you have a preference for him?
Maybe it's political, actually. Might be a political thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I would have a preference to West Ham. Southgate...
The football's close to West Ham and Newcastle, probably.
I think West Ham's trajectory is very different, and the feeling is also very different to the one that is at Newcastle right now. I think that's the case.
It's also interesting because West. I mean, I want to talk a little bit about this. Mm-hmm. David Moyes and West Ham lost to. They lost on
what, over the weekend.
Yeah,
I don't remember who they lost to over the weekend, but I'll look it up. Sorry, go on.
Anyway, they lost a cup game and they've lost a couple of league games, and it's all of a sudden like Moyes, not quite out, but...
So that it went Brighton, draw, Bristol, loss, Sheffield United, draw.
This was it.
But before that, win against Arsenal, right? Yeah, 2-0 against Arsenal. Win against Manchester United, 2-0. Obviously lost to Liverpool, but that was in the cup. Win against Wolves... I don't feel like it's all that bad.
No, I mean, they're sixth in the league, aren't they?
They're sixth. And you know what? They are 4 points ahead of Chelsea, 6 points ahead of Newcastle. None of those teams have a game in hand.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting? It just shows how important style is.
They're ahead of Brighton.
Yeah, but you know something? Like,
they're only five off Tottenham.
If you ask Brighton fans how they feel about De Zerbi, they can't say enough nice things.
Sure.
West Ham fans, you know, West Ham won the World Cup, the West Ham way. They want to play football. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible how much David Moyes can do winning a European trophy, being through the Europa League, being sixth in the Premier League, and then he'll throw a game at Anfield, or be overly negative at Sheffield United, and half the fans feel like Moyes out.
I get what you're saying. I feel like that's like not harsh, but if you look at what they did against Sheffield United, it's not like it was 2-2 in the end, And let's face it, like, they scored a 90 plus 13 minute.
The fans were chanting, you don't know what you're doing. Referring right. to, like, a negative tactical move.
He did play Jarrod Bowen with Danny Ings right behind him. Danny Ings looked all right.
I think what it demonstrates to me, which is interesting, is how style and trajectory is everything. I watched a Wimbledon team get relegated, but it was kind of, at least the first half of the season was kind of interesting, because we had seven academy players playing for us, and we knew what we were trying to do, and we were building towards something. It was incredible what you could forgive. And it's interesting, because if you look at Roma, and I just want to turn this to Jose for a second.
Turn it.
He's lost his job.
Has he?
He has. And the reason he's lost his
West
job...
West Ham must be looking in.
Oh my God. Is he not just a direct evolution?
What, of David Moyes?
Mm.
I feel like David Moyes is almost...
At this stage, though, you have to ask the question, is David Moyes a more sustainable, palatable long-term... I mean, Moyes has been at the club for years now. You can't imagine Mourinho being there. Anywhere, particularly.
Yeah.
They for that period of time.
No one will take
him. I read about
I did this. I did the whole Premier League table and went, will anyone take him? I worked out, no.
Jose, someone wrote something quite interesting about Bounds, which is, if you look at how he does his team set up, the type of football he likes playing, why it ends when it tends to end, they concluded he was perfect for international management. Not a huge amount of time with the players, so they don't get bored of him, it doesn't explode.
Although he's hanging around like Coverciano, whatever it is.
Yeah, a bit.
Just obviously. Everyone's going, oh God, here he comes.
Yeah, that's...
I don't think international managers, by the way, hang out at the managerial school for, like, basically the manager school in Italy, but I just couldn't think of another place.
You know, they have to write dissertations there.
We can find those, surely, right?
Some of them. Carlo Ancelotti's, I think, is public.
Do you think we can find those? I feel like that's just a good video. It's just reading Carlo Ancelotti's...
Attacking transitions in the 4-4-2.
Conte's is publicly available. I'd love to read how Antonio Conte writes. I bet it's like, then we fuck the ball down the field.
And then we call the chairman a prick.
Yeah. That one works so well. That's like a real move.
When you want to sign a centre-half, but... Daniel Levy isn't giving you the cash.
It's kind of interesting. I love reading people writing in an academic fashion who you don't normally hear speak in that way. Like when I look at Rafa Benitez, I go, of course you could write a dissertation. Mm. When I look at David Moyes, I'm like, I think you could write something, but it just has B+ written all over it.
Oh yeah, I see what you mean. It's being pitched, it's a comfortable pass.
Yeah.
But your use of metaphors and similes wasn't quite
there. And I feel more like David Moyes. David Moyes and Conte will have very different styles, but Conte is a straight A student. He'll almost be angry with you for not giving him the grade.
The thing about Mourinho too, by the way, is the Mourinho team, if you leave him to his own devices, will be like 7 to 8 like workmen.
Yeah.
And 2 or 3 brilliant players.
What, who was that in the Roma team?
Dybala.
It was Dybala and... Lukaku was up front.
It was kind of just Dybala. He was the magic 10. And
Tammy Abraham is due to return to England, surely. I don't get why he's still in Italy. Like, you know, I'm not saying if I'm Chelsea, I'm buying him, but...
Do they not have a buyback? They probably have a buyback.
I don't know.
Just to finish the Mourinho point. International teams end up being that way.
Right.
Just the nature of how international squads is constructed.
Of course.
Is you end up being defensive. Mm-hmm. You end up having 1 or 2 stars. Attacking sequences, which, you know, Arteta, Klopp, Pep are obsessed with. That's not really Jose's style. Mm-hmm. He's not a pressing manager. Like, he's ready for international football. And I think it's Portugal, I mean, Brazil are still looking for a manager. Brazil which makes a ton of sense.
They'd also be very mistaken in doing that. That would be a big mistake.
I mean, it would blow up so... Also, but can you just imagine him in a Portugal, like Brazil...
I can imagine him in a Portuguese team. I can imagine Ronaldo having one last dance and Mourinho being the man he dances with.
Netflix are signing up that fly on the wall Netflix before it's even happened.
Prime and Netflix have both already bid for that. Like, they both actually speak to Jose about where he's going and go, we need to get in there, and like, part of your contract needs to be that we get in there. Because it would be pretty amazing if they won it. I think you're right about Mourinho. I still think he has something to prove, or he has something to kind of stick a thumb in someone's eye at the very top level.
If you look at the number of points that you now need to win the league, defensive football isn't a viable strategy to win the Premier League. You just can't draw as many games as it necessitates.
I get that. I guess on the other side of that, and this is very much on the other side of that, What about the fact that he won a lot of games 1-0?
Yeah, if you can win the games 1-0, the happy days. But just the nature of winning games 1-0 means you're not very far from drawing.
Sure, right, yeah.
If you look at the number of goals Liverpool score, City score, Arsenal score, and the number of points and the winning runs. I mean, that's why, like, Roberto Mancini is probably now too defensive to win a league at the top level.
Also, it's harder to pay him in the way he wants.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. But he won the Euros with Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you look at Gareth Southgate, he probably wouldn't get a particularly exciting Premier League job.
I don't think he has a Premier League job.
But he's been a more than successful enough manager for England, probably speaking. There's a whole bunch of international managers who are just suited to that. And I think being, you know, international football, knockout football, high-stakes football, don't lose.
Sure.
Don't worry about winning, don't lose.
Mm-hmm.
If you've watched Croatia for the last four international tournaments,
that's literally
their
tactic.
They just hate losing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of a thing as well in international football. It's like, Croatia hate losing to the point where it kind of wills them through.
I read this thing this morning around Bayern Munich are playing football like they'd be inconvenienced if they didn't win the league.
Sure.
Ugh, for God's sake, we should probably win it.
Yeah.
Leverkusen are playing with the humility and hunger to win. And this is this difference. And when you watch Croatia, for example, or to be fair, Mourinho teams, there's kind of a humility to them of do not lose.
Right.
As opposed to, which is awesome, but I think ends up being a limitation.
It's humility... I see it the weirdly, like, even though it's basically the same word, the quality of humility and being humble are almost two different things.
Yes, humble. Say more.
So Mourinho's teams aren't humble, but they have humility.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, they can't be humble because he's not humble, and it's coming from the top.
Right, and that's kind of the point. So, but
the humility comes in application. Like, it's I'm gonna roll my sleeves up.
Yeah, right.
And I'm unless I'm like the magic 10, and he wastes one.
But that's also, humility is also a quality in a Poch team or a Poch or a Conte team.
Or a Pep team.
A Pep team. I feel like they might have lost a bit of that humility.
By the way, the one team that doesn't have any humility when you watch just visually is Man United. The midfield is not getting back.
That's so true.
James Alcott put out a video just about midfield runners at Man United or Fernandes.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was a good video because you had noticed it, but you hadn't quite like articulated it yourself.
I've said this for ages. Yeah. I just don't think he puts in the not the effort, but like the he doesn't do the things he needs to do. And for years, I've had this argument with Manchester United fans about whether he's the right guy for that shape, that midfield, like any shape, any midfield. I just don't know if he's. I don't know if he has that. I don't know if he has the X factor that modern managers want him to have.
Here's a compromise position. If he played for a team where 10 people ran and ran and ran, and he was allowed to float about, I think that'd be awesome.
But I think it'd be cool, but would they win the league? Would they do what Manchester United expect to do?
The evidence is that it's very difficult to win the league with anyone playing a free role.
Right, apart from like a Messi or something like that. And even then, Messi's role isn't really free. It's much more like...
Messi, like... But even then, it's worth saying, PSG... even that PSG team, with Neymar and Mbappe and Messi, who didn't win the league, you know, like, it's very hard to win leagues without being so collective. Whether you can have one passenger or not...
Lille were good.
I mean, look, Man City have a relative passenger in Haaland, in as far as he doesn't link things up.
Sure, but I feel like his gravity is so big that he pulls people towards
him. It's another form of contribution.
It does something else, just him being dangerous does something else. Well, I've got to admit, it does feel a bit like, there are times where you do watch that team, and I'm not saying that he plays badly, but he feels a bit like he has his wings clipped. Or it's like, if he was to be in another side, like, you know, when Bellingham went to Real Madrid, I didn't know what to expect, but then when you saw it, you went, wow, that's like maximum potential. It's weird because I know Rory Jennings had that whole thing about Haaland and his, you know, it would be against the establishment. I kind of get what he means now in the sense that, I mean, maybe he didn't mean this, but what I get is he doesn't do the things that, it doesn't show the humble nature, if you like, or the humility to be the striker. Does that make sense? That was just garbled English. But like,
but you know what's fascinating about that? It's City won the league without a centre-forward.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all probably 11 players out of 11 who helped you dominate the game. But in Pep's language, De Bruyne possibly aside, no one who really helped you win games explicitly. Mm-hmm. And then they adjusted the other way and brought in a centre forward who doesn't help you, in Pep's language, dominate a game, but does help you win a game. That was the distinction he made. And they won the fucking treble.
Yeah, I get that.
So against my point, maybe you don't have to be so collective.
Okay, I get that. City, I would have thought, would have signed more people in January. I know they'll probably go for the value next summer, and we'll see them...
Where do they need a player? Midfield would be the answer.
Midfield, I think they just need another body. The fact they've gotten rid of Calvin Phillips maybe indicates they might go for someone in the coming days.
Or Nunez.
They're still waiting on Paquetá.
Or Paquetá, and also maybe Nunez is now fit.
Nunez is fitter. I still don't know if he's like a Paquetá type level.
By the way, you know who they really need? Is Kovacic. They just, like, if right. He was a City, you would just go, oh, they don't need anyone.
Where is he now?
Chelsea.
Is he really?
Sorry, no.
No, he's at City. You're talking about the other way around.
I'm talking about the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jorginho is what you want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They need that extra body.
Yeah, they just need an extra body in midfield. And Kovacic is kind of the perfect body in that midfield. Mm. But also, do you know what's weird about it is, he is, as great as he is, he's not that body in midfield. He's not the man in midfield. He's been great for them, though, by the way. And it's just not the same as saying he is what they need. Being good and what you need are two different things.
Yeah, and City's real problem is cloning technology hasn't come far enough to clone Rodri.
When we get to that level, can we actually do that? I don't really know.
I don't think
is
so.
That a thing in the... You don't think so?
I don't think...
Do you live in 2050?
I don't think the sci-fi, at least, has people being cloned as adults.
Not yet.
But can you be cloned as an adult that's won the Champions League? With all the muscle memory that's included.
I imagine in the future you will be able to make someone who's basically a complete proxy for you.
Like a ready to go.
Yeah.
And then you can start this new kind of football.
Can you have two memories? Do you get what I mean?
I think psychological continuity is individual. I don't think that's clonable.
I think psychological continuity... Why does that have to be one way? Surely you can have two different experiences at once and you just live them both. And they all go back to one central hub.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
You get home and it's like, hey, I had a great date with... You could go on a date with three different people or go
and
out on like a
notes.
Lunch. Yeah. And it would just be like, you know, that was a good date. Yeah. Oh, I went out with this robot last night.
Do you think you'd get on with yourself?
No. No.
Yeah, similar for me.
Yeah.
I think we'd get on for an hour.
Right.
We then start... sniping.
Also, maybe you've also got two... There's the qualities you have, you can only have one of you.
I think
you can't both be doing the same thing. That's the case for everyone, isn't it?
Unless
they're like super agreeable, we get it.
The way this conversation is going, by the way, is we might actually one day be able to test, hey, would you rather have 11 Rodri's or 11...
So that was my immediate thought, was like, what if it was 10 Jamie Carragher's in a field and they were just fighting each other?
Which player in world football would you want 10 of?
It's a really good question. I think Virgil van Dijk.
It's not a bad answer.
But I don't think he's got quite the technical skill up front, so it almost has to be a midfielder.
De Bruyne? Hard to look past.
I just feel like... Is he playing a team of De Bruyne's?
He's playing... Yeah, there's
10 De Bruyne's versus 10 De Bruyne's, and obviously a goalkeeper.
10 De Bruyne's versus 10 van Dijk's. I think Van Dijk's wouldn't keep hold of the ball.
Wouldn't?
I think the De Bruyne's would be...
He's fairly press resistant.
I know, but the De Bruyne's would be...
I don't disagree. Patterns. I just think Van Dijk's a bad example, actually. I would want 11 Alissons naked in a field. No.
Actually, sign me up.
Close enough, yeah. We're all there. But you get what I'm saying? Like, there's something there where it's like, you want someone who's... They've got to be good enough with their feet. And Van Dijk can't get it out from under his feet.
You would
enough.
Be a very decent side, the 10 Kieran Trippiers.
Yeah, well...
Dynamic, aggressive, good on the ball.
Is Harry Kane just doing his mates a solid? He's just going, yeah, I'm here at Bayern. This is great. I'm scoring loads of goals, even though we're not really winning the league and I am allergic to trophies. I would also love Kieran Trippier here. He would hate Kieran Dyer to be there.
Well, it's interesting because... Flamini re-signed the contract to Arsenal.
Yeah.
My Arsenal friends always used to say, just because he was friends with Ozil. He was like best mates with Ozil, and they said...
You want the Ozil whisperer?
Yeah.
I don't think Harry Kane needs whispering, though, does he? Is he not just like Harry Kane? He's doing absolutely fine without Eric Dyer or Kieran Trippier. But then Kieran Trippier will come along. I do think Kieran Trippier would put a lot on his head. I also just think Kieran Trippier probably feels like, oh, I'm on my way out at Newcastle anyway. I need one last run at a trophy. Like, imagine, did he win it with Atletico? I think he won the league with Atletico.
I think he did, yeah.
Imagine then, well, he wouldn't win the Bundesliga this season, but, you know.
Well, he may, I mean, he might.
He won't.
Do you think Leverkusen are going to do it?
I think Leverkusen have got this belief.
They're 15 wins from 17 games.
I like it. I think it's like a good... Also, I also think it's a good story that the year before Dortmund didn't win it, pushed Bayern all the way to the end, Alonso's new generation of football comes in and changes things for real. Like, he's done that in one season.
I haven't heard a huge amount about Alonso to Liverpool as an eventual move.
We just want to keep it quiet. We don't want anyone to know we're looking.
Right.
He's not going to go to Real Madrid in the immediate future. Klopp hasn't re-signed a contract, but it'd be interesting to see if he did.
Is part of the reason it hasn't been mentioned so much because the style of football is quite different?
It's not that. It's not all that different. And actually, if you look at it, like the 3-4-3-ish kind of thing that he has works perfectly at Liverpool. Three centre-backs. It's not really a Trenty type
character.
I was going
to say, but Trent could be the right centre-half. He could be the quarterback.
Just saying. And then the midfield, obviously, we've got a fairly adaptable kind of talented midfield. And then up front, I would actually say that's a pretty Alonso-y kind of front line.
Robertson at left midfield, up and down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It works. With Ancelotti signing his new Real Madrid contract, a couple of other people, apparently Bayern are looking at him. I don't want that to happen.
But also, there's been a few unsuccessful Premier League moves. I know Kane's worked extremely well. Mm-hmm. But Sane, he's done okay. Mane didn't work out for them.
Mane was horrific. I have 1 minute.
Any final thoughts?
Mane was horrific. I feel bad for Sadio Mane. I feel like he's wasted in Saudi, although he's probably having a great time, probably having a great life.
Because him and Wijnaldum never should have left. I was having this chat the other day.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see what they would have done if they were just squad players, but the wages just wouldn't have been feasible. Yeah. What conclusion did we come to? Basically, the January transfer window is slow because there's almost not a necessity for a lot of teams to spend. And actually, it's kind of weird because the necessity not for them to spend has kind of come from them not wanting to spend, and they've kind of gone, cool, we've spent enough.
It's like a big night out.
Yeah.
The next day you have a sleep.
Yeah.
And if you spend a billion over summer, I know they didn't quite, but they spent half a billion over summer in the case of Chelsea. They need to get players at the door before buying, and all these top clubs have big wages. It's very restrictive.
Which, by the way, as we will discuss in a future podcast, it's fair when you have to wait to spend money. Just being able to spend money and just go, oh, I'll just spend loads of money. It's not really a thing.
So apparently one of the reasons why Chelsea have tried to get these long contracts on lower wages is to make moves to upper mid-table Italian, Spanish, French clubs more on. Because if you have someone on 70 grand a week or 80 grand a week rather than 180, they're open to wage offers from Lazio. Whereas if they're on 180, Lazio are now not a buyer anymore. So you increase your base of buyers, essentially, by having a player on a lower wage. And one of the advantages of lower wages isn't just that you have less spending, but also it's easier to get players out the door.
It's an interesting theory to end the podcast. Let us know what you think in the comments below. Jamie and I will be back later in the week with another brilliant graphic. Join us on the Discord, on the Patreon, on everywhere else. People are going to be chatting. I might even make a channel for the graphic in the Discord. You should join Discord.
I'll see you guys there.
Yeah, good to see you guys. Join the Patreon, join the Discord, and we'll see you again real soon right here with us. Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.